Save your applause for Jesus. He's the only one worthy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be back here tonight. And it's been a season. And some of you are not aging as like I'm aging. So you still look young and beautiful. And what a blessing it is to see all of you and the familiar faces. And as I mentioned, I do have a little bit of history here. And just briefly, I ain't going to waste too much of God's time, but Ashley and I, we visited, I think, in 1992, right after we'd gotten married, we visited here. And the first Sunday that we came in, we knew this was the place that God wanted us. And from 92 to 99, we were here, our membership. But on July the 28th, 1996, here at this altar on a Sunday evening, God laid a calling up on my heart to follow Him into the ministry. Had no idea what His plans included or the path that was before me. He just laid it up on my heart to submit to Him, and I did. And here we are, some 29, almost 29 years. It's time waits for nobody, amen? But it is a blessing to be here. I appreciate the invitation, and it's always good to be able to share with God's people and God's Word, but most of all, to be at His feet in worship and praise. And that's where we want to be tonight. Above all things, we need to be at the feet of Jesus. We need to be listening to His voice, submitting to His will, and just welcoming His presence in a mighty, mighty way. And that's what we're going to strive to do tonight. But we're going to find ourselves in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be looking at chapter 3 and verses 5 to 6 tonight. And I make a request every Sunday morning with my church folk. When you find your place in God's Word, I have to hear an amen.
Amen.
Hey, that's quick. Y'all quicker, my folk. I'm going to have to get on them. Amen. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, and I am going to ask you to stand with me as we honor our Heavenly Father in the reading of His Holy Scripture. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Father, again, as we just humbly bow before your mighty throne this night, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory for this time that we can be before your holy presence and at the feet of your Son, Jesus. And I pray that our hearts are open to your word. I pray our ears are attentive to your voice. I pray our minds are ready to receive the truth that you have for us. And God, I just pray that tonight that you be mighty in our presence. I pray that you use this old earthen vessel as your means to proclaim your message. I pray your words would flow through these lips. I pray you would hide me behind your glory and that you would be seen and you would be heard here tonight above all things. And I pray that all that we do be lifted up before you and be received with favor. For Jesus, we love you and we praise you this night. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as we are looking at this passage of Scripture, and I know over just a few pages in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, that book starts out, for everything there is a season, for everything there is a time and a purpose. And that is not only with us individually, but it is with the church also. You know, and as long as we live in this fallen creation, church, we're going to face obstacles. We're going to face difficulties. We're going to face the tactics of our enemy. We're going to face the battle that he has put before us to draw us away from anything that is of God. And when we look at scriptures tonight, you know, one of the most difficult challenges that you and I face as believers and as a church is letting go of self and letting God do what God wants to do. That's a difficult challenge for all of us. From the time we have been able to understand the teaching of our parents and the teaching of those adults around us, we've been taught that message. If you're going to have anything, you've got to do it on your own. You've got to go out and make your own way. You've got to do it in your own strength. You've got to do it in your own might. You've got to do it in your own wisdom. Anything that you have got to go out and acquire on your own. But you know, that's contrary to what God's Word tells us. But Scripture tells us in verse 5 there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "The flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another." Every day that you and I wake up, we have an enemy who is dead set on separating us from the things of God. to disrupt us, to disrupt our path, to disrupt our call that God has put before us, to disrupt our fellowship and our worship of Him. And he is a formidable enemy. Scripture says that he is the prince and the power of the air. We live in a fallen creation. You know, this is not our home. I'm a citizen of the United States by birth, but by being born again, I'm a citizen of heaven. And we have an enemy who wants that we, this fallen creation in which we live, and as he rules, and his objective again is to separate us from anything that is of God. And the enemy's focus is to consume you. You realize that, don't you? Satan wants to consume your thoughts. Satan wants to consume your time. Satan wants to consume your energy. Satan wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your hope. He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your sanity. Satan wants to do anything to keep you away and distracting you from the blessings and the goodness of God. And church, he doesn't only attack us individually. He attacks us as an assembly, as a group. And we find ourselves in different seasons in life because things do change. But God's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Scripture tells us here to trust in the Lord, God is giving us the blueprint. God is giving us His plan. God has given us His way in which we can find ourselves in His will. Now, I don't know if you ever struggle with wondering what God's will is for your life. Do you ever have that thought? Do you ever have that issue? Man, I just wish God would expose His will to me and just give it all to me so I would know. That'd be nice sometime, wouldn't it? But you know, God's will is, and Jesus said it best. He says, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself and do what? Take up his cross. How often? Daily. And do what? Follow him. You know, that's God's will for your life. That's his plan for your life. You don't have to have the book. You don't have to have the blueprint. You don't have to have an instruction manual. God's word says trust in the Lord. And that's point number one. You want to know what God's will is for your life? First of all, you got to trust him. You got to trust that he has a battle plan for you. And this is a problem that we have. So how do we find the peace in God in the life? How do we find peace in God when we are in these circumstances spiritually? When we are in these valleys spiritually? When we are in these battles spiritually? How do we find that peace with God? And listen, if you are at peace with God tonight, hallelujah. I praise you and I envy you. Because that's a wonderful place to be. We've all been on that spiritual mountaintop. And man, things are good when it's up there, isn't it? Man, it's easy to shout and praise when we're on that mountain. But boy, we get in that valley or we get in that dark night, sometimes it gets difficult. And we begin to question, God, why? God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your will for me? God, where is your peace? Where is your hope? And Scripture simply tells us that this evening, it says, trust in the Lord. And that means we put our faith in him. And you guys know that acronym for faith, forsaking all, I trust him. And that's an old acronym, but it is so true. And when he says trust in the Lord, that's exactly what he is saying, have faith in me. Because remember, the Scripture says that we walk by faith and not by, all right. You know, too often it's our human nature that we want to see everything before us. We want God to illuminate that path. We want him to, again, illuminate his will so that we can see it and we can follow it. But God's word teaches us explicitly that we are to walk by faith. Again, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. Church, that's trusting in the Lord. That's trusting in him with your path. That's trusting in him that he will show you his will for your life. Trust in him. Have faith. Trusting in the Lord is getting you and I to the spiritual place that you let go of self. Now hear me. God wants you and I to get to the place spiritually that we let go of self, we let go of our self-reliance, and we just let God. Just let God. And Satan's going to fight you every step of the way getting there. And he's going to make sure, if he's possible, You know, we've heard that, and I don't know where it came from, but you know that old song? Well, it ain't an old song. It's old to me, but Carrie Underwood, I think, sang it. Jesus, take a wheel. And you know the point of that song is that we just take our hands off a wheel and we just give it to Jesus and let him guide us to his destination, to the place he wants us to be. You know, there's a lot of spiritual truth in that. But see, the problem is with so many of us, and I'm like Paul, I'm the chief of one of those. You know, I'll let go of the wheel with one hand and say, Jesus, you take the wheel, while I've got another hand on the bottom of the wheel. That's not trusting in the Lord, and that's not having faith in him. When he says to let go, when he wants us to let go and let him, he means to let go of that wheel, turn it over to him, and let him guide us in all of his ways. And that's a challenge for you and I. You know, we say take the wheel, but we don't let go. You can't have it both ways. I'm going to be all over Scripture tonight, but that's okay. Because Jesus says you can't serve God and you can't serve man too. So you can't let Jesus have the wheel of the vehicle or your life or your spiritual walk and then try to control it yourself. You got to let go. You got to deny yourself. You got to die to yourself. And just to remind you tonight, and I love when teachers and preachers remind me of spiritual and scriptural things. When the Word says to trust in the Lord, we got to remind ourselves of what Scripture is asking us. And who the Scripture is telling us to put our trust in. We need to remind ourselves that in the beginning, God created. That's who Scripture is telling us to trust. You know, every star that you see hung in the universe that we can see visually? Do you know in the beginning God hung those stars in place? Even those stars that we can't see. Even those planets that we don't know exist. God created them. And people ask me, well, do you believe in that there's life out there somewhere? Well, sure, there's eternal life out there. Hallelujah. And my answer is, you know, I don't have all the answers to all the questions. But one thing I can tell them, if there is other life out there, God created it. He is the author of creation. He is the author of life. And that's who we put our trust in, the one who created everything that we know, everything that surrounds us, and everything that there is. I don't know how many of you know Louis Giglio. He's a Bible teacher. And several years ago, he brought a message called How Great Is Our God, I believe was the name of it. And in that DVD he had, and I don't know if some of, well, all of us know what DVDs are, but some of the young folks don't. But he was making a comparison. And they had just found out into the far reaches of the universe, they had just discovered a new star, Canis Majoris. What a name. It means the big dog star. That's exactly what he said. But in comparison of size, he said if Earth was the size of a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the size of Mount Everest. Wow. But you know who put that star there? My God did. The God of the Bible. The one that said in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth. And when Scripture says trust in the Lord, that's who he is calling us to trust in. You know, if he can put all this in place and he can make it work, if he can create the small life that we know, the life forms, the microscopic life forms, if he can create the life forms that just inhabit this earth that we know of, if he can create mankind, if he can take dust of the ground and make the image of man and breathe into the nostrils of man the breath of life, we can put our trust in him, church. We can. Because if we can't, he's not God. So when Scripture says to trust in him, that's who Scripture is telling us to trust in. Listen, God can handle your life. God can handle his church. Boy, that's fighting words at some pulpits. This is the house of the living God. This is the house that his son Jesus Christ established 2,000 years ago. When he called his disciples to go out, he said, I'm going to send you a gift. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. And he says, I want you to go out there, and I want you to meet, and I want you to pray. I want you to study. And in that day, I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he said, my church is going to be born. And that's the part of the church that we are in. It's his house. It's his church. And we need to trust in him to guide us through every aspect, through every way, through every decision. You know why so many Christians struggle? You know why so many churches are dying? Because we don't trust in the Lord, and we don't seek his counsel and his guidance in the decisions that we make. And I make no apologies to anyone when I say that. We need to seek the counsel of God in everything that we do. In other words, we're denying what Scripture says. To trust in the Lord with what? With all our heart. That's point number two. You know, we have a tendency to trust in the Lord with just bits and pieces of our life. We'll give God this, and we'll give God that, and, you know, we'll let him have this, and we'll let him have that. Sometimes we don't let him touch our finances. You know, that's on me, God. I'll take care of that. Sometimes our relationships, other aspects of our life, you know, we'll turn over to God, but we'll hang on to some that we need to control, that we need to take care of. You know, sometimes we're guilty of doing that. But is that trusted in God with all your heart? You know, we do trust in the Lord with our physical well-being, our physical life, and we certainly need to trust in with our spiritual life. And our spiritual life is here when we assemble together as his church, as his people. You know, as I get the opportunity to preach at different places, you know, it's a reminder to me, we may be separated by street addresses, geographical differences, but listen, Jesus said to all of those who are born again, we're going to be caught up into his heaven, and we're going to be before his throne, and we're going to be his people, we're going to be his church. And even though we may be separated by distance and buildings and different factors, we belong to the church of the living Jesus Christ. We are his people. And collectively, even though you assemble here on Sunday and we assemble on the other side of the county on Sunday, we're still assembling to worship and to praise the same Jesus. And to just be before his feet, to be still before him. And when he says that we are to trust in him with all of that, our heart, that means every aspect of our area of our life. And again, it is a challenge to you and I to do that, because we have this tendency to hang on and to do what we can. And listen, I want to clarify something. Jesus expects us to do what we can do on our own. But he expects us to do it under his authority and under his guidance. And what we can't do, he's going to take care of. Because his promise is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So when you're in the valley, you're in the darkness of the night, he's going to be there with you. When you're up on that mountaintop, he's going to be there with you. He's going to be there with us, because he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And when we strive to trust in him with all of our heart, his promise is he's going to be there with us. And it gets even better than that. Because if we trust in him with all of our heart, he tells us that point number two is to lean not on your own understanding. You know, that's where it gets us in so much trouble. We get into so much trouble when we lean to our own understanding. That's either an amen or an oh me, I don't know. I leave that up to you. We get in so much, especially as a believer. You know that old saying, we want our cake and eat it too? We want all the gifts of salvation. We want all the blessings of God, but we want to live our life on our term. Don't work that way. We can fight against it, and we can try it. But if we lean up on our own understanding, it's going to draw us away from the plan that God has for us. We get so caught up in doing things. We get so busy in doing things our way, in our strength, in our wisdom, in our experience, in the way that we want to, in our preference, that we take God out of the equation. Church, it happens. It reminds me of when the nation of Israel wanted to be like the rest of the kingdoms around them and appoint their own king. I'm afraid that we as the church of the living God, and I say we because we're all a part of it, we're at the point that we want to be more like the world than we do God's church. We want to be more about entertainment than we are about evangelism. We want to be more about protecting people's feelings than we are to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to adapt to the ways of the world and not bring the world into the love and the grace and the mercy and compassion and truth of Jesus Christ. When Mary and Martha was at the house of Lazarus, you know what Martha was doing? She was busy, 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 working, working, working. And Mary went and took her seat at the feet of Jesus. She was before him, worshiping him. And Martha got all upset. But whose side was Jesus on? He was on Mary's side. So when we are to trust in the Lord, and when we are to lean up on him, when it comes time to be with Jesus, we need to be at his feet worshiping. When we come through these doors on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, on Wednesday, whatever day is appointed, our heart ought to be, I am coming into the house of my Savior Jesus Christ to worship him first. Worship him first. At his feet. Before him. I reminded the church this morning, and it is a truth. You go back to the book of Exodus if you don't believe me. Go to Exodus chapter 20. You look up the Ten Commandments. What's the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If God isn't first, I can promise you he's not going to be second. He's not going to be third. He's not going to be fourth. If he's not first, he's not going to be. So when we come together and we go come together to trust in him, to worship him, and to praise him, he needs to be first and foremost before all things that we do. When we come to his house, our heart ought to be, I am coming to worship my Jesus. I'm coming to praise him for the gift of salvation that he gave to me. I come to thank him for dying on that cross for my sin. I'm coming to lift him up and to praise him so that others would know that I am acknowledging him in my life. We need to worship Jesus more, church. We need to forget about the worldly things, the entertainment. We need to come before his very throne, before the cross that he died upon, before the tomb that he rose from, and we need to worship him. And when we get our worship right, we're going to be in the will of our living Savior. We're going to be following that path that he has put before us. And we get so distracted by the world and the fallen creation that we live in that we fail to remind ourselves Jesus first. We ought to have signs at our door, Jesus first. Take a Sharpie and put it on your forehead, Jesus first. Well, that's silly. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge Jesus in your life? I'm not mad at nobody. Listen, I love you from the depths of my soul. I love you from the soles of my feet to the crown of my head. I love you. But I'm called to preach the message that Jesus sends. How often do we acknowledge him in our everyday life? Does your co-worker know that you belong to Jesus? Does the people at your school know that you belong to Jesus? You don't have to take your Bible and thump them upside the head every time they walk by. In your words and in your actions, is Jesus acknowledged? He says if we trust in him with all our heart and lean up on not on our understanding, but up on his word and up on his truth, and we acknowledge in him in all of our ways, we come to that place that he wants us to be, that we are leaning up on him. The greatest source of strength that we have in our life is Jesus. The greatest source of hope that we have in our life is Jesus. Because it's eternal, church. Eternal. He needs to be acknowledged in our personal life and not just our spiritual life. And that people would know where we stand. And when we lean up on him and we lean up on his ways. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Scripture says to acknowledge him and lean up on his ways and his understanding. Get away from us. Get away from me and go to thee. Go to him. And bring ourselves before his throne. Why are so many churches dying? Why are so many people walking away? Why are so many pulpits being vacated? Church has become more about man's way than God's way. And that's not a condemnation up on Tennessee Avenue. By no means, I'm not saying that. But across the board, we have stopped acknowledging God and his ways and his truth. Listen, the truth is divisive. The truth is hurtful. But the truth is exactly that. It's the truth. And we have been set apart by the call of the Most High God to live in this fallen creation as ambassadors for him and evangelists and ministers and teachers. That's what our calling is. That's what his will for you and I are. And when we lean up on him, and we lean up on his way, we lean up on his understanding, it makes that so much easier. Because man's way leads to death. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's who we lean upon. Man, he's a good God. He is a wonderful Savior. And you think about what he has done on our behalf. And we need to, as the church, we need to get back to that place that Mary was at and just fall before his feet, acknowledge him, praise him, worship him, and love him, and we're going to see him do work. We want to know where Holy Ghost revival is. It's right there. We have to stop hindering the Spirit. We have to come full circle back to the place that God needs us to be. Mary came to worship. Martha came to work. And I know there's work to be done. Ministry's work, church. It's work on the member side. It's work on the staff side. God didn't call us just to sit on our hands and wait for his return. He called us to go out and to teach and to preach and to love and to show. But we do it in the heart of worship. You know, you can clean toilets in the church and worship Jesus. You can. Several years ago, and I'm bivocational. I have been for 30 years, and that's just where God has placed me. That's what he's called me to do, and you know, that's my role. That's what I do. So I'm a carpenter by trade. I build houses and do those things, but several years ago, we were working on, and I don't do roofs no more, so don't even ask me, but several years ago, we were working on a roof, and it was in the middle of summer, and it's hot. And if you've never been putting on, if you've never tore off and put on shingles in the middle of summer, you're missing a treat, is all I can tell you. And it was one of those hot days, and I was sweating. But I was over there on a section nailing on myself, and the other guys were on the other section working, and I was just over. I wasn't paying no attention. I was just doing my job, but I was singing. You know, just I thought I was singing to myself. But I was singing that song, "There is coming a great day, and it won't be very long, when all the saints are going to gather. We're going to gather around God's throne." Y'all remember that song, Mike Speck? "We're going to feast on milk and honey. We're going to sing and have a good time. For there is coming a great day when the Lord returns for his bride. And there's going to be a great, great day." And I was just singing that, not paying no attention. The next day we came into work and I was over there doing my own thing, and a guy picked me on the shoulder. He said, "Hey." I said, "What?" Because I was ill when I was putting on shingles anyway. He said, "Sing that song." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That song you were singing yesterday, sing it again." Had no idea that they were listening. I was just singing about the joy of Jesus in my heart. I was acknowledging him in all of my, and I'm not bragging on self. That was just one of those moments. I don't have enough of them in my life. But even in those tasks and those chores that we don't enjoy doing, we need to be worshiping him. We need to be praising him. We need to be lifting him up, because we do not know who is watching and who is listening. And it may be somebody that needs to know that they can trust in him, that they can lean upon him, that they can surrender their faith to him. They may need to know about eternal life. We need to worship Jesus. And church, when we worship Jesus, we trust in him. And when we trust in Jesus, Scripture says that he's going to guide our path. He's going to guide our way. He says, "And he shall direct your path." If he said he will do it, he's going to. He's not going to go back on his word. But we acknowledge the Lord in all that we do. Acknowledge him. Go to him. I think Jesus gave us the greatest example of what he is talking about. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, when he said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." You know, that's where God wants us spiritually. In our personal lives. That we trust in him to the point that we pray that prayer in our soul and we mean it. "God, this world has a lot to offer, but I'm going to follow you." "God, this world has a lot of temptations, but I'm going to trust in you. You created everything around us and before us, behind us, and in front of us. The future is in your hand." Do you know Jesus? Do you know he's the Alpha and the Omega? He's the beginning and the end. Do you know that he is the source of our life? He is the creator of our life. He is the sustainer of our life. He is the provider. He is our salvation. He is our eternal life. Do you know all the things that Jesus is? And he wants to be a part of my life. He wants to be a part of your life. If that's not a great statement about who he is, there's none greater. Jesus wants you to be in his family. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. And when he is, we need to acknowledge him as such. And again, Scripture says if we do that, he will direct your path. You know, I ask that question if you've ever wondered what God's will is for you. It's a day-by-day walk in submission to the will and the path that Jesus puts before us. You want to know Jesus' will? You need to worship him. You need to trust him. You need to surrender to him. And this is why the struggle in so many people and so many churches, it's a failure to surrender their trust to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate to admit it, but I hung on to self for far too long in my life. Jesus called me And I don't know why he was so patient with me, but he called me for a couple years before I surrendered to him. Ashley couldn't stand me. I had that battle of flesh and spirit. I had plans for my life, and it wasn't to be in the ministry. And I wasn't angry at God. I wasn't being rebellious against him. I just didn't understand it. God, you know I've got this and this and this going on, and this and this and this is where I'm going to be. He said, okay. But I want you to do this. And I came to a crossroad. And I had to make a spiritual decision. Was I going to continue to follow Ken, or was I going to follow Jesus? And I'm so thankful he gave me the opportunity to say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And has it been perfect? Well, not with me, no, but with him, yes. I still stumble. I still fall. I still make mistakes out there. But I'm trusting in him to get me through it each and every day. And I want to be at his feet just like Mary, worshiping him and praising him and loving him and thanking him. And church, when we get to that place spiritually, that's where God wants us to be. And then that's when he can begin to work in our life. And we can begin to put our feet up on that path of the will that he has for you and I. I want to know it all. Jesus, I ain't taking another step till you tell me everything. You're going to be standing for a long time, brother. A long time. But the question is, do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord tonight, church? Well, do you trust him with all your heart? You know, Jesus said it another way. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Completely. Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Do you lean on him and not on self? Do you acknowledge him in your life? Those are the keys to finding God's will for you. And when you find yourself up on that path, it doesn't matter what tomorrow holds, because Jesus is already there. You're not going to wander. You're not going to worry. You're not going to get anxious. Jesus took care of today. He took care of yesterday. He's going to take care of tomorrow. Trusting in him. Trusting in him. I used the illustration a couple weeks ago about trust, and I'm going to close on this. I thought I had two nights to preach, but y'all got Bible school next Sunday night, so we might stay here another hour. God's people said amen. Everybody else said, oh me. When you talk about trust, and I'm talking about sold out, complete trust. You take those people, and I'm going to be nice tonight. You take those people who go up in a plane way up in the air, and they'll put a backpack on. Perfectly working, flying airplane, and they decide to open the door and jump out. And all they have between them and the ground and a hard landing is a piece of fabric. What are they putting their trust in? Are they putting their trust in themselves and their ability and their wisdom and their intellect, their strength, their athleticism? Or are they putting their faith that when they pull that cord, that parachute's going to open and it's going to give them a soft landing? You know, it's the same thing with God as a believer. We either hold on to self or we free fall into the presence of the Most High God and trusting in him that he's going to deliver us exactly where he wants to be, where he wants us to be. And I thank God for that. And each and every day that we walk with Him, we get a little bit more confidence. We get a little bit more assurance. Because He's showing us every step of the way He's in control and He's able. And He's going to get us through. I know as a church you're in a difficult season. But I want you to understand that God has this. God has the man already in place to fill this pulpit. He has him. He has the man of His choosing to fill this pulpit and to guide you to where you need to be spiritually. And what you have to do as this assembly is to let go and let God lean up on Him, lean up on His ways, acknowledge Him, and just let go of self and let God. It's a difficult thing to do, but it's the scriptural thing to do. What happened to Israel when they received King Saul? If they'd only listened to God and kept Him first, they wouldn't have had to face much of the difficulties and hardships they did. So God's word to us and to Tennessee Avenue tonight is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He's going to guide your steps. He's going to carry you through this. Because remember, this isn't your house, this is His. And He's going to take care of His own. Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank Him. Lift Him up. Let others in the community know that Jesus is still alive and well. We might just sing that one. Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is, He is. And we need to acknowledge that, church. Let go of self and just let Him. And He promises. He promises that He's going to take care of the little things. Because He always does. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I think they're going to come. We're going to have an invitation tonight. And I don't know where you're at spiritually this evening in your own personal walk with Jesus. And there may be some maybe struggling with decisions in the church. But God has called us here this evening just to remind us to trust in Him, to acknowledge of those who call upon Him on the right path. He will guide His church in the right direction. But if He's speaking to your heart this evening, as they sing, if you want to come, this altar's open, if you want to pray, I'll be here if you want someone to pray with. You may need Jesus tonight. You can't trust in Him with your life until you trust in Him with your salvation. You may need Jesus tonight. And I'm going to shut up in just a minute, but I want to ask you this. Can you go back to the moment, the time in your life? It doesn't matter about the date on the calendar. It doesn't matter about the time on the clock. But can you go back to that moment in your life to where you turned to Jesus and you said, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that You died for my sin. And I ask You to forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Can you go back to that moment that you made that decision in your life? If you can't, according to the Scriptures, you've never met Jesus. You've never been born again. And that's the greatest need that you have in your life above all things. And that's the first step of trusting in Him. And I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation, but if you've ever met the King of Glory, you're going to remember that moment. You're never going to forget it. So if you've never met Him, why not make tonight the night that you can recall, that's the night I gave my heart to Jesus. That's the night I called upon His name That's the night my name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. If you need Him this evening, would you come? Father, as we bow before You, I pray that Your will be done in our presence. I pray that those that are struggling tonight would just come before Your throne. I pray that they would just surrender themselves to You. I'm so thankful that we have Your throne to bow before. I'm so thankful that we have Your blood to plead. I'm so thankful that we have Your presence to lean upon and to trust in. And I pray for each one here tonight. I pray that everyone can go back to that very moment that they called out upon Your name for salvation. And if there's one here that can't tonight, Lord, I pray that right where they're at, they would just let go of self and let the Holy Spirit do that work in their life that You died to do. This altar's open. God, may we just put all of our cares and concerns before You. And we pray this, Jesus, in Your name. Amen. As the music's playing, if you need to come, this altar's open. But Jesus is welcoming. Jesus is ready. Is He calling you tonight?
Just as I am without one need, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst.
Is He calling your name tonight? Is He speaking to your heart? He wants you to come just as you are. We can't make things right with the Lord, but He'll make things right with us through forgiveness and through salvation.
Just as I am and waiting not to my soul of one dark blood, through whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
You know, I have no doubt that one day God's people is going to let go and we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. We got to let go, church. We got to let go and let God. And when we do that, it's going to be like the day of Pentecost. Oh, I long for those days. But in the meantime, we keep on trusting in Him and leaning up on Him and praying for Him to guide our way. Love Jesus. Love each other. Amen. Amen. Again, church, I love you. From the depths of my heart, I love you guys. But not as much as Jesus does. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate you so much. Folks, I come to you with some little sad news. I was just given this during service, and Rachel Smith, one of our homebound members, has went home to be with the Lord. So sad, and that we're not going to have her with us here, but glorious that we know where she is. Amen. So if you don't know who Rachel is, you may be familiar with her son Tommy Yates, or her daughter Becky Boer. So this is their mother. And so arrangements are forthcoming. And as soon as we know anything, we'll share that out to Sunday school teachers and Sunday school classes and those things. But continue to remember Tommy's family and Becky's family as they're going through this, okay? As all minds and hearts clear? If so, Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. God, we come and we lay at your throne room, Tommy and Becky. God, we ask that you walk with them right now. Lord, that they feel your peace. Lord, they feel your spirit. Lord, as they're walking through this time, and God, I ask that you give us the wisdom and us the knowledge to serve this family, and the ability, and Lord God, we will give you the glory. In your precious holy name we pray, amen. I'll see you guys Wednesday night.